Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. This video is the next in a series looking at the financial implications of Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the global economy. And in today's episode, I want to talk about oil prices and the proposed oil price cap that will be applied against all Russian exports of oil. As I'm sure you'll be aware, oil represents the single largest revenue source for Russia. In 2021, Russia earned over $100 billion from oil exports, which equated to around 20% of its total revenues. And this was at a price that is significantly below where market levels are right now. So overall, oil is really important to Russia. And the future of those revenues depends on whether or not Russia will be able to replace all of the exports that it's losing to the West as a result of the financial sanctions that are in place, and replace them predominantly with sales to India and China. And that comes into the whole question of secondary sanctions. So in today's video, we'll walk through exactly what's been happening with oil prices, because they've been fluctuating. At the start of the war, we saw a huge increase in prices. But since that time, we've seen quite a lot of movement. So I'll have a look at exactly where we are right now. And I'll show you a really interesting month-by-month demand and supply chart that's produced by McKinsey, which shows how sensitive oil prices are to those movements and what's happening in the markets. We'll then talk about the oil price cap, because there's been some further developments, and we've now got an indication as to what that price might be. So we'll go on to talk about what the implications of that price cap will be for Russia and the rest of the world, and why this potentially could work as a concept. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think is likely to happen over the course of the next 3 to 6 months in the oil markets, what the implications of that are for the Russian economy and the global economy. So before we get started, if I could ask you to give me a thumbs up at some point during this video, if you're enjoying the content, please subscribe if you haven't done so already. Don't forget, I always include chapters in these videos, so if you don't have time to watch the whole thing, you can pick and choose what you'd like to see. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube Super Thanks and membership, as well as Buy Me a Coffee, Patreon and Amazon shopping links. This chart shows the movement in crude oil prices over the last 12 months. So you can see that this time last year, a barrel of crude oil was priced at around $81. Prices started to fall towards the end of 2021. But as we moved into January, there was a steady increase. And prior to Russia's invasion of Ukraine on the 24th of February, prices had got up to around $90 per barrel. As soon as the invasion started, prices jumped to around $120 per barrel. And over the course of the first 3 months of the war, prices were highly volatile and ranged between $90 and $120. However, since early June, we've seen a marked reduction in oil prices, and they're now trading somewhere in the region of $90 per barrel, which was roughly the same price that we had prior to the invasion starting. Now, of course, the price of $90 per barrel has to be put into perspective. And if we look at this chart, which shows the 5-year average oil price, you can see that on average, prices have been trading at around $65 per barrel over the previous 4 years. So the last 12 months on average represents a period of high oil prices. Now, in terms of what determines the price of oil, this is almost the perfect market in terms of demand and supply. If demand exceeds supply, then the price goes up. If supply exceeds demand, then the price goes down. Now, generally speaking, the demand for oil is linked to the global economy. If the global economy is growing, then that usually means that there's a growing demand for oil. If the global economy is reducing, then that means that there'll be a reduction in demand for oil. In terms of supply, the situation is slightly more complicated. Because there is a limited number of countries that produce and export oil, they generally operate on a cartel basis. Now, I've referred to OPEC Plus in a number of previous videos, but this is a collection of 23 countries who all have a collective agreement not to produce more than a certain amount of oil. And the reason that they do that is that they want to maintain the price. They don't want the market to become flooded, for supply to exceed demand, and therefore for the price of their valuable resource to drop. They would rather reduce their output to maintain high prices to ensure that they make good profit on all of the oil that's produced. And that's because there's a high fixed price in producing a barrel of oil. You have to spend a lot of money on all of the infrastructure, get everything in place. and your whole business model is based upon achieving a certain price when you sell that oil. What you don't want to be doing is producing large volumes of oil and selling them below cost. So that's why OPEC come up with these production limits, because they want to make sure that they're all making good profit. And if the price does come down for some other reason, then they will simply reduce the amount of production to get that price back up to an acceptable level. So the supply of oil is not like any other markets. In the majority of other sectors, you have companies that are trying to produce as much as they can to maximize their sales value. They all want to sell as many products at the best price possible to get the maximum amount of profit. In oil, there's a really fine balancing act in terms of supplying too much or too little. And I'll show you now a chart which shows the movements in demand and supply for oil and how that affects price. Now, before we move on any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Ground News. Now, I'm constantly being asked, where do you find all the information and the data to put together so many videos? And it is quite challenging because I'm trying to produce as many videos as I can, and I've got lots of contacts, and I'm constantly searching around for interesting articles and information that I think would make interesting videos for you guys to watch. And Ground News is a really exciting website and app that is the world's first news comparison platform. It pulls together stories from more than 50,000 sources and posts them real time so you can see breaking news as and when it happens. But what's really different about Ground News is it gives you a breakdown of where that news originates from, so you can see who owns the news channels that's posting these stories, what level of factuality originates from that particular news source, and what political bias that news outlet has. So let's have a look at the articles that Ground News posted directly relating to today's video. So this page shows all of the articles relating to the proposed oil price cap. In total, there were 7 articles, 2 of which had a leaning to the left and 2 of which had a leaning to the right. And if we scroll down, you can see that all of these articles are listed here, so I can click into these if I want to read them in more detail. It tells me who actually published the article, whether they have a left or right leaning, the amount of factuality relating to that news source, and then which company owns this particular publication. You can browse for free or subscribe for as low as $10 per year. To stay fully informed on issues like this, click on the link below, groundnews.com/JoeBlogs, and subscribe for unlimited access to media transparency, bias, blind spots, and comparative reporting coverage. This chart shows the movement in oil prices, demand and supply, and stock levels for the period dating back to January 2020. The blue line at the top of the chart is the price of a barrel of oil in US dollars. You can see that back in January 2020, a barrel of oil was trading for $64. We then saw a decline in the price for the next 4 months, directly related to the COVID-19 pandemic. A lot of countries around the world started introducing lockdowns. A lot of businesses started shutting down. People were staying at home. They weren't going to work. They weren't using their vehicles. And therefore, we saw a big drop in demand. And by April 2020, the price of a barrel of oil had fallen to $18, which was a level that we hadn't seen around the world for a long period of time. Now, from that low point, prices did recover, and you can see that there's been a steady increase in the price of a barrel of oil since that time. But let's have a look at what was happening to demand and supply. So if we look at the next two lines on this chart, the light blue line shows the global supply of oil, and the darker blue line shows the global demand for oil. So you can see that at the start of 2020, around the first 4 months, around 100 million barrels of oil were being produced globally per day. In January, the demand for oil was 96 million barrels. In February, it was 97 million. So both were slightly below the amount of oil that was being produced. However, in March, we saw a significant decline in demand, down to 91 million barrels. And then in April, demand fell to 81 million barrels. So in that month, there was a differential of 18 million barrels of oil per day. So the production was significantly above the amount of demand, and that's what drove that massive reduction in price from $64 per barrel to $18. Now, as I mentioned earlier in the video, the oil-producing nations of the world don't want to keep producing large amounts of oil in a falling market. So as a direct result of the fall in demand, the amount of oil being produced was cut significantly. And you can see in May, the amount of production was reduced to 88 million, which was still above the 85 million demand per day at that point. Production was held at 88 million in June, and you can see that demand actually increased to 90 million. And for the next 6 months, production was deliberately held below the level of demand to make sure that prices started to increase. Because as I mentioned before, if demand is higher than supply, then that leads to an increase in price. But of course, this is all relative, because if you look at the prices above here, you can see that they were rising to around $40 or $45 compared to $64 that we had back in January of 2020. And if we then run forward and look at what's been happening over the last 18 months, you can see that the level of production globally has been deliberately kept low to keep working that price up. So up until the start of the war in Ukraine, we saw a steady increase in oil prices. And by January 2022, the price was up to $87 per barrel. And if we look at the bottom section of this graph, you can see that the bars indicate the amount of inventory that each of the countries was sitting on. So this is oil that's been extracted from the ground that's either in a crude or refined state that hasn't actually been sold to any end users yet. And you can see that in the period that production was reduced, there was a huge increase in the amount of inventory that all of these countries were sitting on. So basically, they were still pumping oil out of the ground, but they weren't releasing it into the markets. And over the course of the last 18 months, you can see that those inventories have been managed down. And by January 2022, global inventories of oil were sitting at 4.2 billion barrels, which was the lowest point in any period back to January 2020. Now, I think what's really interesting to look at here is what's happened to prices and demand and supply and inventory in the period since Russia's invasion of Ukraine. So what we can see is that in the first 5 months from February through till June, prices increased dramatically and are shown at the highest level of $123 in June 2022. Now, in normal circumstances, an increase in price would either be driven by an increase in demand or a reduction in supply. However, if you look at what's happened over that period, you can see that the supply of oil has actually remained flat at 99 million barrels of oil per day. And demand actually dropped during that period. So what we're seeing here is that the rise in the price of oil is being caused largely as a result of speculation and the concerns about future supplies of oil, rather than what's happening on a monthly basis. Because when you look at the demand and the supply chart, there is absolutely no reason why prices should be increasing. And if we now look at July, August and September, you can see that the amount of global production has actually increased to around 102 million barrels per day. And as a result of demand remaining flat, prices have now started to come back down. So the market is now operating in more of a normal fashion because supply is exceeding demand, which is pushing down prices. And if you look at the bottom of this chart, you can see that the producers are now starting to build up their inventory levels again. So they're still producing oil, but they're holding it back because they don't want to have a massive fall in oil prices. Now, something I thought was interesting to look at here is one of the reasons that we saw a massive reduction in demand for oil at the start of the COVID pandemic was because of the cancellation of a lot of air traffic. And the bar charts in the middle of this section compare the monthly demand for aviation fuel, so that's from all of the air traffic, against the same month from 2019, so the last year that we had normalized levels of air travel. And you can see from this that in March 2020, there was a 53% decline in demand for aviation fuel, followed by a 94% fall in April, and then very high numbers thereafter. And whilst the industry has started to make some comebacks, we are still significantly below the levels of demand that we were seeing in 2019. And of course, in a normalized world, we would have expected the demand for aviation fuel to continue rising year on year as more air travel took place. And one thing that's interesting to note here is the impact of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. If you look at the figures in January and February 2022, you can see that the trend for the gradual increase in demand for aviation fuel was reversed. We saw a decline in both of those months, and that was a direct result of a lot of European countries cancelling flights to Russia and Russian aircraft being banned from European airspace. Things have started to improve since those first 2 months, but we are still significantly below the 2019 levels. Now, I think this chart is also really interesting because it shows the 5-year range of demand for oil. And as you would expect, 2020 is the year that marks the lowest levels of demand. But I think what's interesting about this chart, if you look at the global levels, is that demand in 2022 is actually close to the five-year high. So we're not far away from being at record levels of demand. And if you look at the other two charts here, it's interesting to see the split between OECD and non-OECD countries. So the OECD countries are predominantly the countries of Europe, plus USA, Australia, New Zealand, and Canada. So essentially it equates to the demand from the West versus the non-OECD countries. So that includes China and India and a lot of Asia. And you can see that in 2022, demand from the non-OECD countries, so the non-Western countries, is actually at the record level at any time in the last 5 years. So essentially what we've got here is a lot of emerging and developing countries who are seeing that year-on-year growth and higher demand for oil. And if we look at the global statistics for supply, you can see that from May onwards, 2020 was at the bottom of the five-year range. And 2021 is very close to being at the highest level for the last 5 years. And if you look at the breakdown of that, the core 10 countries that represent OPEC have been producing close to 30 million barrels per day. But the non-OPEC countries, which include the USA, have been producing closer to 60 million barrels per day, which is actually the highest rates that we've seen for the last 5 years. And just before we move on, I thought it was worth looking at the production levels from Russia for 2022. And you can see that in April this year, there was a reduction from 11.3 million barrels per day to 10.3. However, since that time, it's been reported that there's been a gradual increase. And in September, production was up to 10.9 million barrels per day. Now, I wanted to provide you with an update on what's going on with regards to the proposed oil price cap for Russian oil exports. As I mentioned in a previous video, the G7 have been working on a mechanism whereby they will limit the amount of money that Russia can earn from each barrel of oil it sells. And the way that they will affect that is through insurance and other logistics relating to the shipping of oil. Now, this will work in two ways. Firstly, if any of the countries in the G7, which are the seven largest economies in the world, or the European Union, or Australia, who've also confirmed that they support this oil price cap. So if Russia wants to sell to any of those countries, and that includes most of the largest economies in the world, it will have to do so under the terms of this price cap. If it wants to sell at a higher price, then obviously it would lose all those markets overnight. Now, Russia have stipulated that they are vehemently opposed to this price cap and they won't sign up to it. So the only way that it will work is if the G7 and Europe can persuade all of the other countries in the world to sign into it as well. And the way that they will do that will be linked directly to the transport of that oil, because Russia needs to put this oil onto ships, and those ships need insurance and a variety of other logistics. Now, Russia is currently trying to organise its own transport, but it simply doesn't have enough ships. And S&P have recently undertaken a full analysis of the market, and they estimate that Russia are at least 110 ships short of being able to bypass this price cap. So that means that they would need to charter ships that are either owned by the West or insured by the West. And the only way that they would be able to use those ships is if the cargo going onto them is party to this price cap agreement. So this isn't really something that Russia can avoid, because if they can't move the oil, they can't make the sale, and therefore they can't get the revenue. So it is catch-22 from Russia's perspective. They simply don't have enough infrastructure to be able to avoid the cap. So the big question is, what price will this oil cap be set at? And I've now seen information that shows that the price being discussed is somewhere between $63 and $64 per barrel. Now, if you think back to the charts that we've just looked at, the last time that we saw prices at those levels were back at the start of the COVID pandemic. In fact, before the pandemic started, oil was trading at $64 per barrel. And that represents a major reduction against current market prices. Now, Russia is already selling at a discount. It's been reported that the deals that it's doing right now are being done at around $75 per barrel. But an enforced reduction through the price cap of around $30 per barrel represents a loss of income of around $300 million per day for Russia, because they're selling around 10 million barrels every single day. Now, the European ban on purchasing non-pipeline crude oil starts on December the 5th, and it's planned that this oil price cap will be in place before then. So over the course of the next few weeks, we are likely to see an announcement that the oil price cap has been agreed, the price will officially be released, And then all of the countries involved will be operating that cap directly. And all of the insurance and shipping industry companies will be instructed that they need to enforce this cap all around the world. Now, as I've mentioned before, from everybody else's point of view, this cap is actually beneficial. If you're India or China and you're currently paying $75 per barrel directly from Russia, but the oil price cap reduces that amount to $63, then that's a win-win from your perspective, because you can still keep buying all of that oil directly from Russia. So you're getting your supplies that you need, but you're getting it at a significantly lower price. So there's no real downside from India and China's point of view. They're not actually setting the rules of this game. So they can say to Russia, this isn't our decision, but they don't want to run the risk of the secondary sanctions being applied against their countries with regards to all of the trade that they're doing with the West on other fronts. So they can use this as a really good excuse that they don't want to hurt their own economies, but actually, you know, they don't really have a choice. So it's a great idea, I think, from everybody's point of view, apart from Russia. Obviously, from Russia's perspective, all this is a massive reduction in revenue. So they'll still be able to keep producing all of their oil. They just won't be able to maximize the profit on it. And as I mentioned in other videos, Russia's threat of not producing any oil, of actually pulling out of the global market, isn't really realistic, because once you've set up those facilities, once you've got that oil pumping and you're releasing 10 million barrels of oil per day, the last thing that you want to do is switch off those supplies, because that will cause you major problems in the future. It could even mean that you would never get those production facilities going to the same level ever again. And this is coming, of course, at a time when Russia's losing all of its business partners. So we've seen BP, Shell, ExxonMobil all exiting from Russia, and it's also losing access to technology. So the last thing that you want to do in those circumstances is start messing around with your production, because in the event that you have major breakdowns and technical faults, you may not have either the technical capability or the parts and machinery to be able to fix all of those problems. So this is a really difficult situation for Russia. And I think it's likely that this oil price cap will be put in place. And I think ultimately Russia will have to toe the line and agree to it. They'll be very unhappy about it, because this is going to be a major cut in revenue. But ultimately, I don't think they'll have much choice. Now, as I mentioned all the way through this video, the price of oil is determined by demand and supply, and supply is deliberately manipulated to make sure that the price stays at an agreed level all around the world. And the biggest group that's coordinating their efforts is OPEC Plus. And OPEC Plus is a powerful group of 23 countries that includes some of the biggest oil producers in the world, including Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq, United Arab Emirates, and Kuwait. And the OPEC Plus countries recently announced that they intend to reduce the amount of production by 2 million barrels of oil per day in order to maintain the price at an acceptable level. Now, the USA has been unhappy about this because they've been releasing some oil from their strategic petroleum reserves in order to try to reduce the pressure on price. So the USA has been trying to bring prices down to help the global economy, to reduce inflation. And OPEC have now come out and stated that they're going to reduce their production to push prices back up, which obviously is the last thing that everybody wants in terms of the global fight to bring down prices. So this really shows that oil is not like any other market on earth. You've got people who've got a vested interest in this product who want to keep prices high, and they're prepared to actually reduce the amount of money that they're earning in order to do that. So they'll reduce their production and take in less revenue overall in order to keep that price up. And I wanted to mention this market manipulation because I think it's important. When you think about global demand and supply normally, you just think about what's happening with the global economy. So when the economy is growing, demand will grow and therefore prices tend to go up. And the opposite applies when you've got a recession. But we could get a situation where we have a global recession, but oil prices keep going up because the OPEC Plus countries decide that it's in their interest to reduce production to keep those prices high. And that would be the nightmare scenario, that we could have a really deep global recession or even a depression, but we could still have rising oil prices. And that would obviously make the situation worse because the price of oil feeds through into the price of everything. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to make this video because I get a lot of comments in the section below about what's going on with oil prices. And everybody's talking about when oil prices are going up, it's good news for Russia, that they'll do well, they're making all this money from all of these exports, and therefore there's not going to be a problem with the Russian economy. But I think the oil price cap is a really important mechanism in the financial sanctions. So we've already got 8 rounds of sanctions that have been brought in against Russia. They're fairly comprehensive. They are hurting the Russian economy. Some of them will take longer than others to feed through into the results. And we don't really know exactly what's going on in Russia because they've stopped publishing all of the data. So we can't really see the pain that Russia is bearing right now. But they are taking effect and they are causing problems in the Russian economy. But oil still represents the biggest single product from Russia's perspective. In 2021, it equated to around 20% of all revenues. And since the invasion of Ukraine started, those revenues have been impacted in a number of ways. Firstly, Russia lost a lot of its exports to the West, not all of them, because some of the countries are still buying oil, but it's lost quite a lot and it will lose more on December the 5th when the European Union ban comes in. So that's been a negative from Russia's point of view. But on the positive side, we saw the price of oil increase to around $120 per barrel. So the oil that it was still selling, it was making extra profit on. Now, in order to encourage India and China to buy higher volumes, Russia has actually had to offer discounts. So it's been offering a discount of around $30 per barrel. But it's been able to absorb that because of the higher prices. If prices go up to $120, you can still earn $90 even with a $30 discount. So that's still good business from Russia's perspective. So the West has really been trying hard to think about a mechanism to try to stop this super profit that Russia is earning at the moment. And the oil price cap has been designed to do exactly that. And as I mentioned earlier in the video, there is no real downside to any other country apart from Russia for this oil price cap, because it just gives you the ability to buy large volumes of oil for a below market price. So that is a dream ticket scenario if you're India and China, particularly because they can say, it wasn't our doing, we're not forcing this cap on you, but we're being told by everybody else that if we don't comply with it, then we'll lose all of our sales to the West. So it's a really great excuse for those countries to be able to partake in the oil price cap without being sanctioned by Russia. And as I mentioned, from Russia's perspective, they really need to keep production going at maximum capacity if they're going to avoid problems with their own industry. So whilst they've threatened to pull out of the market entirely if this oil price cap appears, in reality, they won't be able to do that. It would destroy all of their infrastructure and cause them major issues at some point in the future. So as it sits right now, Russia is still making lots of money from oil. It's still selling oil to a lot of European countries who haven't been able to find alternative suppliers yet. But over the course of the next month or so, we're going to see the oil price cap introduced, and we're going to see the EU switching off the purchase of all seaborne crude oil. And both of those things are going to have a massive impact on Russia and its revenues. And of course, this is coming on top of Russia losing all of its sales of gas to Europe, because everybody's now moving to LNG and they've got their storage facilities nice and full, and all of the other sanctions. So over the course of the next 3 to 6 months, there is going to be a huge impact on the Russian economy. They are going to lose hundreds of billions of dollars of revenue as a direct result of not being able to access any of these markets. So that's obviously really bad news for Russia. But in terms of what the impact on the global markets are, I think one of the worrying things about what I've shown you in this video is that the price of oil is being deliberately manipulated by a lot of the producers. Now, the USA have recently challenged the legality of whether OPEC Plus can actually manipulate the prices in this way, because by doing so, they could cause major damage to the global economy. If we're going into a recession, what would normally happen would be that demand would fall and therefore prices would come down in order to try to get everybody to a situation where you can start rebuilding and get back to a growth scenario. If prices are deliberately kept high for oil, then that's going to make the situation worse and potentially could put us into a tailspin that it's difficult to get out of, because we're still dependent on oil. Unfortunately, I think the realization over the course of the last 7 months is that the world is still dependent on fossil fuels. So when the price of those fossil fuels goes up, it hurts everybody. So if the price of oil is deliberately kept high during a time of recession, then that is going to make it even more painful for all of the countries who need to buy oil. So hopefully that gives you a better understanding as to what's going on in the oil market, why prices keep moving around as they do, and what the potential impact of oil price movements will be over the course of the next 3 to 6 months. Hopefully you found today's video interesting, useful and thought-provoking. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up and don't forget to subscribe if you haven't done so already.